First Timothy chapter 1. Just one verse. First Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a reliable message. That's the gospel. Worthy of all acceptation is the faith of man, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the mission of Christ. Of whom I am chief is the confession of Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, you are either saved or lost. You're either on a broad road or a narrow road. You're either making for heaven or you're making for hell. You're either believing or you're not believing. You've either got faith or you haven't got it. You've either got Christ or you haven't got him. But I have seen the face of Jesus, gazed upon the crucified, and my heart is won forever. I am saved and satisfied. Earth's joys no longer charm me, and the world has lost its hold, but my heart will sing with gladness when the pearly gates unfold. I've got it, and having Christ, I've everything. And if you haven't got him, you've nothing. You're bankrupt. You're helpless. You're without hope. Tonight we've come, the servants of God and the ministers of Jesus Christ, to tell you there's a way back to God, there's a way to heaven, there's a way to home, there's a way to life everlasting, and it's found in Christ. Christ is salvation. Christ is life. Christ is hope. And this glorious person came into the world to save sinners. You will notice that the Savior, the Rescuer, is not a man. He's the Son of God. And because he's God's Son, he can save eternally. For he's a man who'll never die. Every other religion is based upon a man who has lived and died, and they can take you to the sepulchre where the precious dust of them lies. But yonder in the center of the earth, consecrated followers of Christ will take you to a certain historical spot, and standing there they can say, he is not here, he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. 'Tis the risen Lord that is the Savior. Thus he can take you, lift you, save you, transform you and make you new. And he'll never let you go, for he's the infallible Christ, the Christ that never fails, the Savior that's never lost a soul. And ultimately and finally, at the end of the road, every one of us who trust Christ shall reach the shore. Not one of them shall be lost, gathered safe forever into the heavenly home. What a Savior. What a wonderful Christ! What a glorious deliverer! As you've been hearing, to save you is to take a journey. For Savior, the Savior doesn't belong to earth. He doesn't belong to time. He came from heaven. He's eternal. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Have you got it? Listen again. Now ponder carefully. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Got that? The text is talking about the two most important people in the world. Who's that, you say? Christ and you. Christ and you. Oh, you say, I see. But if it's Christ and me, you're associating me with the sinners. That's right. Now listen, friend. Now listen carefully. Now don't rise and walk out. We haven't come here to insult you. But we must tell you what's true. I've told you about this wonderful Savior. You've heard all about it, and this sacrifice. Now listen. You're just a poor sinner on the road to hell. And you desperately need someone that can save you from the penal consequences of your sin. You're desperately needing the Savior that we speak about to lift you, to recreate you, and set you straight for heaven, and in between, to live a life that is totally satisfying. Let me break it up for you. Christ Jesus, that's the person. Came, that's his pre-existence, for he could never have come if he hadn't lived up there. Into the world, that's when he began down here. To save, that's what he came to do. Sinners, that's the kind of people he came to save. Come again. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came, that's his voluntary action. Into the world, that's his virgin birth. To save, that's the work he came to do. Sinners, that's the people he came to help. Come again. Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, came, that's his deity, into the world, that's his humanity, to save, that's his sacrifice, sinners, that's you and I. Come again. Christ Jesus, the sovereign of the skies, came, that's heaven. Into the world, that's Bethlehem. To save, that's Calvary. Sinners, that's Vancouver. Got it? Listen again. Christ Jesus came into the world. And if you've never done it before, away you go home tonight. And thank God that ever Christ came. For nobody asked him to come. They didn't hold a prayer meeting and say, oh God, we've made a terrible mess of things down here. Won't you do something about it? Not at all. Men are too proud for that. They didn't hold a prayer meeting. They didn't hold a national day of prayer. They didn't hold an international day of prayer, whether of women or men and women. But the Son of God looked down upon earth to see every generation helpless and bankrupt, unable to save themselves. And wonder of all wonders, he made the decision that he would come down to where we were. You understand, won't you, that up yonder in heaven he can't die. Deity can't die. And so he took a journey down to earth, and he came right down. right down through lunar space, outer space, broke the sound barrier, so to speak, and came right down to Bethlehem. Got that? Left his home on high, and came right down, and in something that is sacred and mysterious that I can't explain, he found himself in the darkness of the Virgin's womb. And finally, he was born in a stable and cradled in a manger. When he came, he didn't come to Caesar's palace, and he didn't come to Herod's palace, and he didn't come to the big hotel along the road, and he didn't even come to the inn. He came right down to the stable. You know, I'm glad when he came that he didn't come to Caesar's palace or Herod's palace or the big hotel along the road. For do you know what they would have said? All the atheists, all the skeptics, all the militants, they would have said he's only interested in the people with money. He's only interested in the folks with a silver spoon in their mouth. But oh no, he came right down. Right down to the stable. Say you folks, you'll never forget that your Lord and mine was poor. Isn't that right? When his mother brought the offering to the temple, she brought two turtle doves, two young pigeons for her offering. Listen, you women. Here's what the Bible says. She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger. I want you to notice she did it all herself. I want you to notice in this supreme hour for any woman, the dignity of motherhood. When she brought forth her firstborn son, there was no nurse, no midwife, no doctor, no specialist, no consultant, no gynecologist. Nothing will happen here. Nothing will go wrong here. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Says the Bible, the Son of God is come. And I tell you, if royalty came to Vancouver, they would clean up the buildings, roll out the red carpet. But when the Son of God came, there's nobody to welcome him. And he had come. He had come for the greatest business in the world. He had come to save sinners. Listen to this. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, Christ, Lord. But he had come to save. You remember what you used to teach the children? He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. I want you to turn your eyes for a moment to the cross of Calvary where the Savior died. Right to the very center of the world, the place chosen by God, where yonder his Son will make atonement for human sin and shed his blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And God darkened the scene, and a pall came over. And yonder in the midst of the darkness, the Son of God dies in atonement for human sin, heals his life in sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice, Oh, here's the kernel, the heart of Christianity. If you can save yourself, Christ need never have come. Christ need never have died and rose again. It's because you're unable to save yourself. Because you cannot lift your little finger to atone for one sin. It's because that you're helpless that the Son of God took the journey from the skies and came down, born of the Virgin, ultimately to die on the cross and shed his blood that cleanseth from all sin. Stop. Oh, this tragedy of human life. Almost unlimited power to commit sins, unable to atone for one. Did you ever think? The longer you live, the greater becomes your capacity to sin. Do you ever think of that? Listen to me. You'll do things at 14 you never would have tried at 10. You'll do things at 20 you'd never have thought about at 13. The older you live, the greater becomes your capacity to do wrong. And the more you sin, the greater becomes your guilt. You can't lift your little finger to atone for one of them. You may turn over a new leaf, you may decide to do the best you can. It never blots out the past, it never gives power from the present, it'll never open the pearly gates in the future. You're needing a Savior, one that will stand in the breach, take your place, die your death, bear your judgment, and Christ is the man, Christ is the Savior, Christ is the Deliverer. It's always Christ, only Christ, ever Christ, no one else but Christ. He can do it. For it was Christ Jesus that came into the world to save sinners. You might say, you boys are always preaching about sin and sinners. That's right. That's right. You see, you're in a bad way. I mean, you might say to me, just a minute, you don't know me. That's right. Would you like me to tell you what I think about you? In just a minute now. It's true that I don't know you. But I do know two things. I know my Bible. And I've had experience of humankind. Now listen carefully. And I'll tell you exactly what I think about you. Now don't rise and go out, please. Wait and talk to me later. The first thing about you is this. I believe that you're worse than I think you are. That's the first thing. The next thing that I believe about you is this. That you're worse than your mother thinks you are. The next thing I believe about you is that you're worse than your wife thinks you are. Now maybe I better stop. You'll understand this. If that's what I think about you and I don't know you, what do you think God thinks about you that knows all that goes on inside here? That knows every emotion. That knows every secret. That knows everything about you. Or the wonder of this gospel. There's a God that loves you despite you are all that. He hates your sin, but he loves you. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how sin has affected you. God loves you, and Christ died for sinners. Oh, blazon it abroad. Tell it out. Put it out. Put it up in letters of fire. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, the wonder of it all. Don't know how you folks can keep quiet. Listen. Listen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you believe it? Will you put your faith in what the Bible says and the Christ of the Bible? Come on now. For it's for eternity, not for time. You'll live forever. Have you got that? Long after time has ceased to be. Now I'll use the language of the Bible. When the heavens pass away with a great noise and the elements melt with fervent heat, you will live on somewhere. You're made for the skies, you're made for the spaces, you're made for the eternities. Made not for the days of time alone, but for eternity. You're the child of eternity. You'll live somewhere, and you'll live forever as long as God lives. You'll live. Tell me, friend, in God's name, where are you going? Come on now. You remember in Glasgow yonder the big banner, heaven or hell for eternity? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the gain it may bring. Have you counted the cost? Oh, just a minute. This is the greatest hour of your life, in the presence of God. We've told you about the Christ that can save, redeem, transform, make new. Give you a new life, the life that is eternal, that will transform everything for you and put you straight on the road to heaven. Wonderful hour this. But you know, it's drawing to a close. Just in a few moments and the meeting will be over. A word of prayer. Singing of a hymn. We'll go to the door. I want to shake you by the hand and thank you for coming. Tell me, have you trusted Christ? Tell me, have you lifted your heart as you're sitting there and said, "Oh God, it's all true. I'll take Christ tonight." It was in a big place like this. The meeting was drawing to a close. I hadn't asked anyone to do anything other than lift their heart to God. And suddenly a young woman rose away up in the corner there. She was sitting with her husband and two children. I thought she was going out. She turned and she walked down the aisle sobbing and speaking, saying something. I learned later she was praying. And as she sobbed and spoke coming down the aisle, I had to stop preaching. And as she came down, I said to her, just sit there and I'll come in a moment and speak to you. She never heard me. She kept walking right round and knelt down in front of the platform. She would be the third and last person that has done that in meetings I've had, walked out uninvited. I left the platform and went down beside her and knelt down. What a sight for heaven. The preacher and a penitent kneeling on the ground. We'll pass over the rest of the details. Enough to say. She told me later. She says, "I don't know what made me do it. It was contrary to me." Her husband was desperately embarrassed. And she was praying as she came down the aisle, "Oh God, help me, oh God, help me." He told me later. He says, "I know why she went out while I was embarrassed. I know now they take that message." And he said, "Everything you were saying just fitted her. And she got wonderfully saved. She turned out to be a soul winner." They wrote to me to tell me the ultimate result of that was 30 people got saved over a number of months. Leave it there. Tell me, as I draw the meeting to a close, you'll make your decision, won't you? But remember this, if you fail tonight, you might never get another chance, and yonder as you face Christ at the judgment bar, he'll remind you of the night. About the man from Ireland that spoke to you, and he'll remind you of the little Scotsman that pleaded with you. Say, "Christ for me." Come on. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My preaching friend said, He came into the world to save me. Come on now. God bless you. God help you. God give you courage. Oh, you'll need it. But above all, come out clean and square. And Christ will break every habit. Now I promise you, He'll break every habit. He'll give you better friends than you've got now. That moment you make your decision for Christ, I guarantee it will close the gates of hell and open the gates of heaven. Never forget, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.